Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
There's different ways that people interact with spirits. Sometimes it's just going out there, asking some questions, seeing what comes up on the devices that are being used. Some, they take a different approach. They like to taunt. They like to say things, to get things upset, as if you were to do it to a human, but you're doing it to the dead. Scary thing is, with the dead, you don't know how much power they have. While it may seem like not much at all, one person finds out the hard way that taunting the dead results in not only being physically scarred, but also likely the cause of losing some of those that he loves. Take a listen. A few friends and I started ghost hunting in 2001. It wasn't until 2003 that we really started to get into it and open ourselves up to the spirit world. This is a story from the last time we went ghost hunting as a group. I'm sharing it out of my journal, as written the next morning, adding to it here and there to explain things a little better for you. Our group consisted of 6 people: me, Riley, Fearless Dan, Cameron, Philip, Irna, and Steven. I was always the skeptical one. I always had logical reasons for everything. We often played with a Ouija board that we found on one of our ghost hunts a couple of years before. I never believed anything that the supposed spirits told us on the Ouija board until this night, October 13th of 2003. I wish I could explain how I was feeling that night. It's 9 a.m. I've yet to fall asleep. Never in the 3 years that we've been ghost hunting have I witnessed the things that we encountered that night. We started off at Dan's house playing with that stupid Ouija board. As we were playing with it, the little guide thing was floating above the board, everyone touching one finger to it. At one point, it fell off the board completely and we all immediately took our fingers off. Then picked itself up, hovered over the middle of the board when we put it back down. It was as if that thought, okay, that was a little weird. I opened myself up to the possibility that this board could actually communicate with ghosts. The spirit we were talking to started to tell us a story about a family called the Allreds who lived in a house in Hiraman. It had been nicknamed the Roundhouse. The spirit named the family that had lived in the Roundhouse: the father, Frank, the mother, Marianne, and their 2 daughters, Marie and Anna. Fearless Dan asked the spirit to show itself to us and said no. Dan asked again and again. We were told no. Dan, being the fearless jerk that he is, said, "You're a coward. You're a damn coward. Show yourself or stop wasting my time." At that moment, the power in the house went out and our candles were all blown out by a strong wind blowing literally through the house. I got up and lit a few of the candles again and we tried to talk to the spirit. After a few minutes, the spirit gave us an address, the Roundhouse, and said that it would reveal itself to us there on the 3rd floor. It said it didn't like Dan. If he came, he would suffer. All of us, including Fearless Dan, jumped into the van and made our way to the house. While we were in the city, we stopped at a gas station to get gas and drinks, and Dan asked the cashier if he knew anything about the roundhouse. The cashier's eyes opened wide and he nodded, but refused to say anything about it. This creepy old man, and I mean old, was standing in line behind us and said in his creepy old man voice, "I know all about the Allreds." He then proceeded to tell us a story about a family, the father, Frank, the mother, Mary Ann, and their two daughters, Marie and Anna, just as the spirit had told us. As the story goes, Frank was very abusive towards his family, mentally, physically, and sexually. One night while Frank was out, Mary Ann, trying to save herself and her daughter from him, shot both of them and then herself. Mary Ann and Marie died, but the gun did not kill Anna. When Frank came home that night and found them, he went into a rage, locked little Anna in his bedroom closet, not tending to her wounds, and hung himself in his bedroom, which, as the old man told us, is the last room at the end of the hallway on the third floor. Anna ended up bleeding to death in the closet, the old man finished. They didn't find the family until a few days later. The night had just started. Everyone was already creeped out. We jumped into the van, made our way down the street to the dirt road that leads to the roundhouse. We're about a mile from the house, and deer suddenly found our way into its path. At least I think it was a deer. It was rather bizarre and deformed. It only had three legs, one of which appeared to be broken. It had a weird hump on its back. It was foaming at the mouth, and its eyes were bloodshot. It stood in the middle of the road, just staring at the van. Dan and Steven got out of the van and started throwing rocks at it, hoping to get it to move. One hit it, and the deer didn't seem to notice, even though the rock actually hit its head. It eventually moved a few feet to the left, giving us just enough room to drive by. I turned around as we passed the deer, and it turned towards the van and started following us, not being able to move very quickly because of the broken leg. We drove for about 15 minutes, pulled up in front of the roundhouse. It was just as its nickname suggests, round. It had a weird dome shape to it and was three stories high. As I looked up, I saw the curtains in one of the third-story windows move aside as if someone was looking down at us. When I pointed it out to everyone else, the curtains closed before anyone could see it. As we got out of the van, the wind kicked up, started blowing like crazy. The closer we got to the house, the harder the wind blew and the louder the wind was. Dan was the first to reach the steps leading up to the front door, and we saw that the door itself was missing. I suddenly felt as if I were in a movie. As soon as Dan's foot made contact with the first step, the wind stopped. I seemed to go deaf for a moment. I started making noise, clapping my hands, stomping my feet, but I couldn't hear anything. Everyone around me was doing the same thing, looking to others for an explanation. Dan was first to reach the door and walked inside. Hundreds of bats flew out of the house, startling everyone. I followed down inside. This was by far the strangest house I'd ever been in. Because of the dome shape, the walls were all slanted. It made me feel a little claustrophobic. There was a staircase to the right of the door. It spiraled up and around the walls, leading to the second and third floors. We climbed up to the second floor and then up to the third, and it was apparent that no one had lived here since the Allreds. The ceiling had caved in a few spots, and you could see pipes and such lined all over the ceiling, leading to the bathroom. Dan said, "Okay, we're here. You said you'd show yourself, so where are you?" It was then I realized we should have taken the spirit seriously when he said that if Dan came, he would suffer. A pipe fell off the ceiling, nicking Dan's shoulder, and stuck into the ground behind him. The pipe was sharp enough that it took out a gash about an inch deep and 1/2 inch wide on his shoulder. Fearless Dan said, "That's it, really? Let's see if you have anything to say to me in Mr. and Mrs. Allred's bedroom." We proceeded to the room at the end of the hallway, just as the creepy old man at the gas station had said. The room was empty of all furniture, but someone had drawn pentagrams all over the walls and the floor. There was a small closet to the left, which we all assumed was the same closet that Anna had been locked in. We walked around the room for a minute, but nothing happened. Fearless Dan added again, said that he wanted us to lock him in the closet. We all protested, but he ended up getting his way. He walked into the closet, shut the door, and I locked it. Dan began to talk, being a total smartass, saying things like, "What's up, little girl? Come here often?" He started another smartass sentence, but stopped talking halfway through. I waited about 30 seconds, and I pounded on the door saying, Dan, what's up? Are you okay? When he didn't respond, I tried to unlock the door. My hand was burned on the doorknob, literally. Dan began to yell and scream like I've never heard. Not only from Dan, but from anyone. It was terrifying. Every time someone tried to unlock the door, they were burned to the point where blisters formed instantly on their hands. Steven started ramming the door with his shoulder, which didn't help anything. He started kicking the door, and after a third kick, realized it wasn't helping anything either. Everyone, including myself, stood in horror as we listened to Dan scream. The screaming and the pounding stopped, and all that I could hear was Erna crying in fear. The door then unlocked itself and opened up slowly. Dan was sitting in the corner, staring straight ahead. Steven and Erna went and helped him to his feet, and he just continued to stare straight ahead. He wouldn't talk to anyone. He could barely walk, and he was in a weird daze. Didn't seem to know what was going on. We decided it was time to leave and help Dan down the stairs. As we walked out of the doorway, the deer had finally made its way up the road and was standing next to our van, staring into the house with blood-red eyes. It started gimping up to us, broken leg and all. Steven started to pray out loud, asking for protection, and the deer stopped walking and fell over, shaking as if it were having a seizure. He ran to the van. Erna and Cameron, supporting Dan, started driving away. Looking back at the deer, I watched it stand up and walk away. No broken legs, no foam coming out of the mouth, and no blood-red eyes. I moved through the van and took Dan's face in my hands, staring him right in the eyes. He seemed to look right through me, not even realizing that I was there. I shook him, trying to get him to snap back into reality, still ignoring me. He started scratching and rubbing his arm, still staring straight ahead, and started to rock back and forth. I smacked his cheek softly, but it didn't help. Smacked him again with a little more force this time and yelled his name as loud as I could, and he came to life, still rubbing his arms. He looked around all of us with tears in his eyes and said that he didn't feel very good. We were just on the outskirts of Harriman at that point, and we pulled over so Dan could get a little fresh air. As he got out of the van, he threw up, all the while rubbing and scratching at his arms. I grabbed one of his arms and pulled up his long sleeve and started crying instantly. There were deep cuts all down his arm, forming the wounds. "He will suffer." Looked like as if someone had taken a pencil-shaped blade and dug the words into his arm. Was the same story on the other arm, only it bore the words, "Damn coward." I have a feeling that yesterday was definitely the end of Fearless Dan. He stayed the night at my house. He didn't want to be alone. But he's as wide awake as I am right now. He doesn't want to talk to us about what happened to him. Not yet, anyways. Dan and I eventually got married. He still doesn't open up and told anyone about what happened to him that night. But he still has scars on his arm from that evening, bearing the word "suffer" and "coward." Every year on October 13th, something bad has happened to Dan. His mother committed suicide exactly a year after the incident. No one is quite sure why. She was a very, very happy person and loved life, or so everyone thought. He was hospitalized after a bad car accident in which his brother was paralyzed from the neck down. It was until last year that he was haunted and tortured by the spirit. We reached out to a demonologist for help, and he did more for us than he will ever know. This has been the first October that Dan has been able to rest easy. We still have the Ouija board, but have not played it since the Roundhouse experience. If we ever choose to Fearless Dan, we'll not be calling any spirits coward.
Is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets, with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.